welcome to Will It Game, the game show about pitching crappy board game ideas from one board family. This is your host, Ryan Gutowski, and I'm here today, as always, with Rick White. How are you doing today, Rick?
I am doing amazing, doing amazing.
I think you're doing amazing because we have a pretty amazing guest on the line. The Steve Jackson of Steve Jackson Games. How are you doing today, sir?
Just fine, although it's merely a Steve Jackson because, as you may know, there's another serious professional designer, a Brit named Steve Jackson. Can't say the one and only Steve Jackson. I'm merely half of the professional Steve Jacksons.
one of two Steve Jacksons.
Somebody's going to have to put a middle initial in there somewhere.
Oh, we talked about that a couple of decades ago, and neither one of us wanted to, nor did either one of us want to change his name to something unusual like Gary Gygax. So Wikipedia just makes do with US and UK.
There we go. Yeah. That makes sense.
The bibliographers of the future will be completely confused and will hate us both if they can agree that there are two of us.
That's true. That's true. So, Steve, tell us a little about, if people don't know who you are by now, that's, first of all, shocking. Second, like, just give us a little synopsis of what you do in the game industry.
Okay, this is for the shocking people. walking around in your little shocking feet, I don't know. Working backwards, the thing that I'm most involved with right now is resurrecting The Fantasy Trip, which is the first RPG that I wrote. Backwards from that, my biggest sellers these days are Zombie Dice and about 50 million different flavors of Munchkin. Working back before that, Car Wars, which is returning next year. And nice. Of course, I've been saying that for 5 years now, but this time it's true.
I'm not lying this time.
Illuminati and the first game I ever wrote, which was Ogre.
Nice. Well, Steve, you have a quite a history of amazing game design, and so we are going to pitch you two games that are pretty mediocre at best, and you get the opportunity to vote for which one is the least crappy game pitch. We asked you to pick a theme for this episode, and I really like the theme that you picked. You gave us a couple, but I thought this was really cool. Gratuitous use of meeples.
If either one of you can make it as high as mediocre with that subject, I'll be very impressed.
We will try our best. So,
well, and I would like to point out that before we started, I told Ryan, listen, you can't go meeple munchkin. Like, that is cheating. Like, we're not adding that flavor. That's not against the rules.
That's right. So I've got a game and it's called Infestation. So nobody wants a house filled with bugs, and you definitely don't want to have an infestation. You're doing everything you can do to keep bugs from overrunning your home. So each player is actually given a box. It's going to be probably a four-player game. Everybody's given a box, and it's kind of the nested boxes that you see with Ice Cool. So everybody's going to have a slightly different size box, but they're going to be all compact so that they all fit in one space. This way you're not buying this giant thing at the store. So these nested boxes are going to get, each person at the table will get one. Your goal is to keep your box from being overrun with hundreds of bug meeples that are included with the game. This game comes with 250 bug meeples in 6 different colors and shapes. The price, astronomical, but it's okay. Players,
everything's fine, guys.
Yeah, we don't know how to tell what this is worth.
Guys, there's going to be so many stretch goals.
Yes. Players are collecting sets of 3 cards in order to dump bugs into their other players' homes. Cards represent one of the 6 different types of bugs, and the number on the card represents the number of bugs that you'll actually add to the opponent's home. So if I collect a set of 3 orange beetle cards, I'll actually total up my number of the number on those 3 cards, pull that many bugs from the center of the table and throw them into the other person's home. But here's the thing. You have to be careful because the other players can reverse this bug dump by having two exterminator cards in their hand.
This I like forces the phrase bug dump.
Yeah, bug dump. That's actually going to be a little phrase. We're going to trademark that one. Don't get the bug dump. So the two if somebody's holding two exterminator cards, it actually forces the bugs back into the original person's home box. So you want to be careful and watch what other people are taking. The players are drafting cards from the middle of the table, kind of like layered cards that you would see in Seven Wonders Duel. And some cards are face up and some cards are face down. So you're not going to have perfect information on what cards everybody gets, has gotten over the course of the game.
Is that randomized face up and face down?
Yeah, so it's shuffled. The deck is shuffled, and then you're basically making this grid that's going to be face up, face down, but because they're staggered, you're not going to be able to take one unless the one that's laying on top of it is off of it.
So it's got to be exposed, okay.
Yeah. So the first player that cannot see the floor of their home through the load of bug meeples that they have loses the game. Everybody else counts the bug meeples in their home, and whoever has the least is the winner of Infestation.
Okay.
So well, I love that win condition.
Yes. Or, well, that's a loss condition.
Yeah,
it's a
that's
loss
true.
Condition, yep.
But then the three who didn't lose see who wins. I like that. Okay, I like the theme. That's a lot of fun. Your meeple collectors will go crazy over six different shapes of bug meeples.
Yep, yep.
And then they can play Carcassonne with insects, which we all have to agree will make the world a better place.
It will.
Exactly.
I have to point out that 250 is not divisible by either three or four.
Ah, that's why we're not the professionals.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got two extra in case, you know, some of them get lost. That's what you're going for.
If you get lost, they'll reproduce in your real house.
Oh, that's,
there we go.
It comes, you know, a Kickstarter, I think a stretch goal would be like one actual cockroach included if you pay extra. Like, I think that's what you got.
Or maybe unless you pay extra.
Yes, that's true. In the basic game, it comes with real cockroaches.
I'm not saying anything about the factories, you understand.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything about the factories.
Okay. All right. So, Rick, do you have a wonderful game to pitch?
Yes, I do. Now, Ryan, you have set the bar here because, you know, if you're going to say 250 meeples, I think that means that I have got to add more, right? And you've obviously got this, board scenario that you've talked about. So, you know what? I'm going to step it up a little bit more. This game is called From On High. The game is played on a mat the size of a Twister mat, but instead of just red dots, this is going to be a map of an island that you will lay out on the floor. This game is played from above, from on high. This game has you placing meeples in different cities that are represented on the mat. And how many meeples? Well, at least 400, we're going to say, meeples are going to be involved in the game. There's overcrowding in some of these cities. Your job, you are playing in the role of gods, and the people have been obviously misbehaving, and it's time for you to smite them. So what you're going to do is take different actions in order to smite the meeples. So which action you get to take, I haven't decided. Maybe it's a die roll. Maybe we get a twister-like spinner that tells you which action you're going to take. But there'll be different things that you can do. We're still playtesting them, obviously, but we're going to have a tennis ball-like item that'll be like a meteor coming down from above. You'll have the opportunity to do a tsunami or an earthquake where you pick up the end of the mat and you just kind of ripple it to see, to kind of make the land shake. So in any of these different disasters that you're able to cause, you're trying to get the meeples to fly off of the island and into the ocean, because the ocean is the great equalizer slash death trap. And so anybody that ends up in the ocean, you'll be able to pick those up. There'll be some meeples that are different colors to represent, like, the leaders in the particular cities, and those will be worth more points. And so you'll play a few rounds, probably going to limit it to 5 rounds. And at that point, you count up your points based on the meeples that you've got, and whoever has the most points wins.
Can we have a shark meeple in the ocean?
Oh, certainly. Yes. I think what we'll have in the ocean is a Roomba just kind of going all the way around the island, so that if the meeple gets picked up by the Roomba, like, oh yeah, it's dead.
Well, you can put a shark fin on top of the Roomba.
Yes. Yes. I love it. Yes.
That's awesome.
Now, this, I guess that becomes like the most expensive game I've seen in a while. It's like, have to buy your own Roomba.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you don't have a Roomba, you could use a cat.
That is true, and put the fin on the cat.
They're exactly the same. Roombas, yeah, and cats.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, except one picks up cat hair and one puts down cat hair. Yeah,
yeah. Unless your Roomba's broken, and then they're more similar than you think.
And I can't teach my Roomba to use the litter box. I've tried.
You've tried. It
was
a mess.
Who gets their feet warmed in the middle of the night by a Roomba? Don't answer that.
People living different lives than me.
So, Steve, do you have any feedback for Rick?
Well, I'm visualizing it, and I'm going, I'm not sure this is playable, but the demonstration video on Kickstarter would be the most awesome thing ever.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Real flood involves a bucket of water.
Yes. We're playing this game outside.
Yes.
I've got to keep working on my natural disasters. You know, I've got to get kind of creative with those and figure out what works best. But yeah, I mean, there's part of us, I think, that always wants to, like, destroy things. And I kind of thought, like, what would be, like, the game Terror in Meeple City, but, like, you know, even
on a bigger
more
scale.
Chaotic. Yeah.
What about floating the map in the middle of one of these little inflatable swimming pools and having the meeples be water soluble?
Oh, yes. Oh, it's going to be nice. It's the most ultimate in legacy games. You can only play it once.
Fizzy water soluble.
Yes, yes. That's your pool funny. Turns into Alka-Seltzer.
then you can sell replacement packs.
Yes.
That's going to be really good.
I'm going to make so much money. You know,
lots of money.
Amazing.
I had a late thought about infestation.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to not be able to see the bottom of the box. What if your meeple design is tiled like an M.C. Escher print, so they fit together?
Ooh.
Hmm.
They puzzle them together in the bottom of the box as you go.
That's interesting. Really cool. Almost like polyomino.
Polyominoes, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. That's interesting. Mm. But I need to have gratuitous amounts of meeples.
Right.
Maybe the deluxe version is the gratuitous amounts of meeples. The regular version is polyominoes, and it's half the price.
There you go.
Or you could always have a game that just didn't need meeples at all, but has them anyway. I wondered if you could come up with a variant rule set for spades that somehow used meeples. Well, because, of course, that's what we all need in a spades game.
Well, yeah. I was going to, my first idea was going to be to have like a Royal Rumble type thing, but that you have to build the stands first and just fill them with meeples. It's required for the game, has no impact on the game, but you better do it if you want to play it right.
That's funny.
Okay. Well, I think my choice on this is going to be infestation, just because killing bugs is funny.
Yeah.
Not that voting people off the island into the shark-infested water isn't funny.
I mean, I enjoy smiting people, but I mean, to each his own.
I'm against myself here. But I liked Infestation. That's a good title.
Cool. Excellent.
See, that's good, because I was going to suggest that you name it Joe's Apartment after that movie from the 90s. Sounds like Infestation is the one that you need to stick with.
Yeah, yeah. I think infestation, everybody understands what that is. You definitely
You mean
don't
people
want
don't
push.
Know what Joe's Apartment is? What?
Joe's
that obscure
apartment,
reference
like,
I'm pulling back?
That was an MTV movie. in the 90s.
Yes, it was.
Wow.
All the kids know it.
You could wish cards on people that just attract more bugs turn after turn.
That's
true.
Yeah,
there you go.
Pizza card.
See, I think that would be cool if there were almost like these curse cards that when you flipped it over. So that's the thing. It's weird because I don't know of a way to get those curse cards definitely face down. You know, when you deal them out face up or face down in the rows, I don't know of a way where the face down cards, some of them could be almost like these curse cards where when you flip it over, it's like, oh, man, attracted more bugs. You know,
well, it would take a little bit more prep, but you could have two kinds of cards, just a small number of those curse cards.
Oh, yeah.
You separate those in the beginning and then shuffle them in with just a part of your regular deck and have that be the face down set.
Gotcha.
So the faces are very different, and that's how you break them up at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
During your setup, you mix those up with some of your regular cards. And then do those face down, and people don't know what they're pulling until they pull it.
That's right.
Man, Ryan, you are killing it, man.
Cool.
This is Ryan's just developing prototype after prototype over here is what's happening.
Like, this is a really silly game. So
I'm excited.
Very cool. Steve, so if people have not checked out a Steve Jackson game, if they don't already have multiple Steve Jackson games like ourselves on their own family game shelves, where can they find some of your games?
The best place is your friendly local game store. You should support your local game store if you've got one, because they need all the help they can get, and because that's where you meet people to play games with and get good ideas. If you don't have a friendly local game store, you can either work on your unfriendly local game store and try and turn them around.
That's right.
Or you can order online.
That's good. Yeah, definitely check out any of the Steve Jackson games. We've got probably four different types of Munchkin on our shelves. We've got Zombie Dice, and we love Batman Dice. I like Batman Dice a lot. That travels with us anytime we go on vacation. Yeah, you guys have some great games. Steve, thank you so much for coming on the show and being our guest. You guys follow them online, SJ Games on Twitter, and what other properties do you guys have as far as social media?
Let's see. We are followable on Kickstarter. We have a Facebook page, of course. We're on Instagram. And our main website is sjgames.com. And that's got links to the social media, so we're findable.
Excellent. Fantastic. And remember, if you want to vote on one of these two pitches, go over to facebook.com/oneboardfamily. And there you'll see a poll at the top of the page for 7 days after this releases. And you'll be able to vote for your favorite game pitch. Give us some feedback. Let us know how this episode was and what you thought about our two terrible games. Thanks so much, Steve. And until next time, we will see you at the table.
Punchboard Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.